Hi, welcome to Sports Pass. My name is Aiden, and today I'm going to be interviewing Coach Peter Kondrick from the Hingham High School rugby team. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Aiden. How you been?
I've been doing all right. Keeping busy and enjoying the summer. To start out, could you just give me a synopsis of how rugby works?
There's an old phrase that it's a hooligans game played by gentlemen, right? I don't know if anybody's ever heard that one. It looks like confusion, but it's actually well organized. Rugby dates back to about the early part of the 19th century, 1820s, where football in general was an excuse for a riot. The story goes that a guy at rugby school in Rugby England decided to put some rules around the issue and create what we call scrums, mauls, lineouts, and the whole nine. And it was really the beginning of the hand on the ball football, as we would know in American football, rugby, obviously, rugby league, rugby union. And like, whereas soccer kind of went in a different direction. Obviously, it was just the football, your foot to the ball. But those were all different rules. So rugby is also described as elegant violence, because it's the last real non-professional game. Most rugby players, only until like the 1990s, were not professionals. They were average Joes, and then they got selected to play for their nation or local club, and they went and they played, and they went back to the garage, or they went back to the coffee shop, or wherever they happened to be working on Monday morning. So it was designed around the working man. It was a rough, heavy game. It had different versions over the time, and that we don't have enough time to talk about those certainly here. But over the decades, it's become the beautiful game that we have, the wonderful game that we know today. 80 minutes of, you know, full out tackling, balls in play when it hits the ground, everybody plays, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
what made you decide to start the team at Hingham High School?
When I first started teaching in the year 2000, I started rugby at Derby Academy, up the street from the high school. And there was no high school rugby in our area except for maybe Marshfield High and BC High in Boston. So there wasn't anything. And Derby only went up to grade 8. And I would joke or would promise my graduates, hey, if wherever you're going, if you don't have rugby and you need a coach, you start a team, call me, I'll be your coach. And a young man by the name of Andrew Carrillo Londrigan, whose nickname was Crash, for obvious reasons, because his style of tackling was like watching a crash. He texted me one day when he was a junior, I think. And he said, I'm sitting down with the new head of athletics, Jim Quattrimoni, the new superintendent of schools at the time, and the new principal at Hingham High, and we're talking about starting a rugby program. All we need is a coach. Will you do it? I happened to be in a faculty meeting at the time when my phone lit up, and I went, sure, whatever, yeah, I'll do it for you. And about a week later, I got a phone call from Jim Quattrimoni asking for an interview. And that was in 2017, I think, is when we actually first started playing games as an MIAA team. And then we became varsity in 2018. We've been varsity ever since.
So how has the rugby program evolved from its conception in 2017-2018 to now?
So as with all things, the first year or two, you're always kind of holding your breath to make sure that at the end of whatever you're doing, you either haven't burnt out the people that have voluntarily become part of this program, or you can sustain the numbers. We're always looking for the next batch of new players to sustain the numbers, because you're going to graduate some. You may even lose some along the way. Rugby is for everybody, but not everybody plays rugby. And therein lies part of the, it really does come down to individual choice, challenged by choice. We had quite a few students this year, and we over the years have said, you know, I want to play rugby. And they come out there and they recognize what they are required to do inside in terms of, and that's, and I know that's coming later on in the interview, but the nature of what we expect of our players initially was we were looking for a bunch of kids who either had some experience or willing to try something and basically get our foot in the door. And the founders of the club, those first 2 years were absolutely stellar in coming out and making Hingham Rugby something worth doing. In those days, we played up at Derby Academy because there was no place to play down at Hingham. And Jim Quattrimoni again said, you know, we all agreed this deserved to be on campus. If we're going to get players, because the issue, of course, was recruiting. We have to have a presence. We have to be there. We have to be. And now we have the pitch in the middle of the track. So at first it was kind of like all volunteers. And then it became something more. The boys who put that together became men. You know, we created a rugby culture and a club, not just a team. And I know many of the listeners and viewers may think, well, what's a club? Like, you know, like a sewing club or a chess club? No, it's not that kind of club. In rugby, the word club really means family. So the idea was to create a family air about it, where these guys were really going to fight for each other left and right. And then we created that sense of brotherhood and camaraderie, not only in how we trained, but also in how we played. And you'll remember, Aiden, the sense of what it means. I took from my military experience the idea of the airborne. You start off surrounded, and these guys have to be able to count on each other. You can't expect the one kid who can run fast, the one kid who can tackle to clean it up for you, which does unfortunately happen in other sports. In this case, everybody had to depend on each other, and it wasn't about your grade, wasn't about your age, wasn't about who you hung out with. It was about who you were willing to suffer with, who you were willing to struggle with, who you were willing to give your life for. It wasn't about you anymore. So when we built the culture, we were building into it somewhat antithetical mentality of this isn't about the individual anymore. This is about the group and putting what you want secondary to what is needed, and then changing that logic so that when young men finish the program like yourself, they came out, they left it better than they found it, but they also came out better than they went in, so that they took something with them. They're now rugby players. There will always be rugby players, even if they never pick up a rugby ball ever again. And the idea was that to start that program at Hingham, the way we did it was to then now in the next couple of years, as we've done, have an environment where, you know, people want, they want to be part of that program and they want to have that experience, and they recognize how hard it is and that it takes a very special person to come to the end of that and to be proud to say, I play rugby at Hingham High.
So you mentioned how you brought your philosophy from the airborne of starting surrounded and depending on the people around you. And on that note, you've also brought a certain mantra and saying to the Hingham High rugby team. So could you just explain a little bit about what Kurahi is and what it means?
Oh, absolutely. So when you're starting off with a program like rugby amongst so many great and well-storied sports programs as they have at Hingham High, you have to differentiate what makes your program unique. And they have to live it. They can't just walk around saying, look what I'm wearing and I'm different, but they have to believe it in here. And as a military historian, I take a lot of experience and a lot of example from the men of Easy Company and the 101st Airborne and what they went through. A bunch of volunteers volunteering to do a very difficult job and invariably were expected to drop themselves into a scenario where they had to fight their way out. They had to count on each other. When they trained at Camp Tocoa, Georgia, which is where Coach Love is from Georgia, there was a hill named Kurahi, which in Cherokee means we stand alone together. And that spoke volumes to me. It spoke not only to my own personal experiences, but also to my experiences playing rugby throughout the many years that I have played, that wherever you were, whomever you were playing with and against, you had to have that same heart, that same commitment to fighting your way out of it. I played a game against a bunch of Welsh police officers one year when I was playing for Providence Men's Club. And they put us in the hospital. But we played 80 minutes against them. And we never gave up. I mean, it was 150-0. And I think three of our guys actually end up like getting seriously injured. But we never gave up. And when that was over, you could walk tall and say, I survived that. I could look back and say, it's not as bad as. So when we say Kurahi, which is our motto underneath our wings, which all our veteran players get after their first year of playing at Hingham, they have to earn them. And there are certain requirements, not only of their attendance to games, but also their attendance to practices. So they have to earn the wings. That motto means that in the course of the game, they have to be able to stand alone together. They have to endure together. We have certain training cycles, which one of them is actually called Kurahi, which tests your ability to endure severe physical strain and mental strain, to test how much you are willing to commit to each other. And nobody does it alone. Nobody goes alone. Including in one particular instance, one of our guys during Kurahi this year couldn't carry, one of the guys couldn't help carry his team member's bag, and one of the coaches jumped in and carried the bag with him. Because we all go together. We're all in it together. So rugby's a game where everybody's in it together no matter what the results are. And when it's over, you're part of a band of brothers. So that's that connection. That's what Kurahi means. When you hear a rugby Hingham rugby player yell Kurahi, and you hear everybody else sound off Kurahi, it goes to their core of who they are, and you can count on them. It's their battle cry. And it's an honor to carry it, for sure.
What are your favorite rugby moments as both a player and as Hingham's coach? And it might end up being, as a player, you going up against the Welsh team, like you just mentioned. But
no, that wasn't my favorite. I got to be honest with you. That scared the devil out of me. It was not my favorite at all. You know, my favorite moments, when I look back at the times that I played, my favorite moments weren't necessarily on the pitch, they were afterwards. My favorite moment was knowing that I belonged to something bigger than anything I'd ever been part of. Most people don't realize this, and I may go somewhat sideways here, but when 9/11 happened, Flight 93, men who brought Flight 93 down were rugby players. They played for a club out in California. And they voluntarily did what rugby players do. They went forward together. They did not. They went forward, maintained possession, supported their teammates. They went and they rucked and rolled that cockpit. And I didn't know that until about 3 or 4 weeks later, where I was wearing my Providence rugby jersey and I was flying down south for, I think to do something with reenacting, I can't remember. I was going to a meeting or something. And I was wearing my Providence rugby jersey. And the stewardess came to me, she said, are you a rugby player? I said, yes, I am. She said, would you come with me? And she bumped me up to first class. And then I sat down, I said, why am I, what did I do? And she sat down and she told me the story. And she said, you know, you guys are really, really dependable. And everyone we've ever found has always been willing to put their life on the line for somebody else. I cannot accept the honor that belongs to those who have done the ultimate sacrifice. I can't. I don't deserve that. However, to be counted amongst their number has been something that's very special to me. Every rugby player I've ever met has always been open and welcoming to me. My favorite memories are meeting with people I don't even know who say, oh, you play? What position? Where'd you play? They don't care how long. They don't care where. All they care about is that you did and if you know any songs and your friends. So my favorite memories, my memories are the ones that have been a collective memory of the entire game. That brotherhood that spans the globe. A rugby player is a rugby player. It doesn't matter what language you speak. And it's really special because we've all pounded the same pitch. We've all broken the same bones. We've all sat in the same you know, weird locker rooms and what have you. You know, the four international tours I took Derby on, they were all part of that. Taking little kids off to a place to play a game in a country, Ireland or Wales or England. The kids go, whoa, that's really important. But the favorite memory I have for Hingham was when we made it to the semifinals at the end of last season, not this past one, but the one before that. When guys who felt like they couldn't go any further put their heart and lives on the line and won that last game to the surprise of everybody, having lost everything up to that point in time, and did it with no subs. Did it with no, we had nobody. Well, we had one, and he got hurt. And then we went to the finals, the semifinals rather, and played with no subs. We lost, but we did it together. We did it on our terms. My favorite memory is, and will always be, the way the boys handled victory and defeat with honor and integrity. That to me is the greatest memory. If you're looking for other stories, I'm not telling them on the video. I can't.
Oh, come on.
Can I tell one more story?
Yeah, of course.
So I got married in 2011. And the year before that, I took the first US U14 team to England. It's never happened before. And the boys that went with me were, oh, great. They loved the game. Everyone was passionate about it. Every one of them. We didn't play any games because we couldn't find anybody to play us, because technically we weren't even supposed to be in England. However, a parent on the trip, his son, before they moved to the United States from England, played at a place called Cranley. So he set us up the night before we flew home to the United States, the day before we flew home to the United States. I think we're flying home on a Monday. We played on a Sunday afternoon. We played against Cranley RFC, and we beat them heavily, like 65-35. It was a smattering. It was an 80-minute U14 match, which is not supposed, you're not supposed to do 80 minutes for U14s, played in mud this deep in England. It was the quintessential, and we were in cotton jerseys. It was the quintessential rugby match, and our boys played beautifully. That was awesome. The jersey that I wore to that game, we didn't have anything to give the opponent after we won the game. So we took my jersey off and all the kids signed it with the score on it. And it is sitting in a frame next to six English jerseys of Englishmen who played at Cranley, who were selected for the 2011 World Cup the following year. So there's a Derby Academy rugby jersey next to the six of those 2011 English rugby players. However, the best part of the story happens next. So I got married the following spring, May 1st, 2011. And when I turned around, all of my guys who came with me and all the boys who played for me at that time were in the vestibule of the church. Excuse me. And my wife said, "Peter, your sons are here." That was my favorite memory. And I think of all of them as my sons. I mean, these young men play a tough game and train hard and do as you tell them to do and do it with tears in their eyes and they can't do it anymore. And that will always be an honorable thing for me to be part of. That's the memory. Sorry.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. That was a great story. That's incredible.
All right. Next question, please.
At first glance, a lot of people tend to say that rugby is a very dangerous sport. Injuries, not enough padding, whatever. Is that true? And why do you think people would believe something like that?
I think the only reason why people in this country think there's not enough padding is because we've become an incredibly litigious society. I think we've become afraid of injury. I think injuries happen in sport, period, full stop. Rugby was one of the first sports to deal with concussions in an effective way and to do the concussion protocols years before they even came to the United States. And it's the referee who makes the call. Concussion protocol, he must go off. Not the coaches, not the players. That's been going on for a long time, long before it even came over here. The nature of contact in rugby is completely different. Yes, you get those loose cannons are going to go in head first, or they're going to lead with the shoulder. And they get binned for 10 minutes. That's sin bin. That's like the penalty box in rugby. Or in some cases, they get sanctioned for more than for the rest of the season. Or in one or two cases, they get sanctioned for life. I mean, it's pretty heavy duty. If you're a hooligan, you don't belong. So the nature of the game is intense. Nature of the game is very physical. It behooves the individual player to prepare for that physical combat area, for sure. But then you'll see rugby players sitting around going, oh, I got this scar at this game, and I broke my knee doing this. Look at that. We don't get medals. We get injuries. Those are our medals. Those are our memories. I think we have a world where we're, well, not a world, but certainly in this country, we're very worried about injury. But we're always looking at injury at the end, not injury at the beginning. Game prep, training, physical training, year-round training, off and on the pitch training. And then the way in which we play, you know, the unfortunate thing is I have to, as a coach, and I think a lot of the coaches that I also work with or coach against, would agree with me that deprogramming a lot of the American football in terms of the way in which they go into contact is dangerous in rugby and is very illegal. And that's where a lot of the injuries come from. They come from people being aggressive without guidelines. We're not suggesting you shouldn't be aggressive, but there has to be a concept of what that controlled aggression is all about. If you're just going in there to kill something, then two people are going to end up getting hurt. So you can wrap a football player up in his a Mack truck worth of armor. But if you have another Mack truck hit him at full speed, head first, with the intention to do damage, they're going to do damage. In rugby, there is no coaching facility that says, go do damage or to hurt another player. Get over it. Make the tackle. Make the tackle strongly, but get to your feet and play the ball. And I think that's why you'll see, in reality, fewer injuries in rugby per capita than in many other sports. Certainly concussions are an issue, but I think that has to do with culture. I think it has to do with understanding what rugby needs to be. You look at some of the international teams as well as the foreign rugby programs and look at their concussion and their injury percentages during the playing season. They're far lower than in other sports here in America, for sure. I also think that in many of the countries, players are out playing more and doing more than the average American child. I think there's too much sedentary lifestyle in the American player that doesn't allow him to go out and play and do more and be more physically active. And I think that sets a lot of players up in this country for injury. But that's me.
So as sort of a pitch, what would a current or soon-to-be Hingham High student gain from looking into and joining the rugby team?
Well, I would start with saying we don't do tryouts. There is not a set of standards by which you'll be measured to put you on or off the team. This is challenged by choice. As I often said, the other sports are being in the Army. This is the Airborne. I'm looking for volunteers. You have to want to be here. And if you don't want to be here, there's the door. Please, you have to want this, earn this, right? I want them to want the wings. You know, the guys walking around the hallway with these beautiful silver wings is a bit different than a guy walking around with just a Hingham jersey. There's something about that. Where did you get those? And there's a story that goes with them, and they all have a common experience. Very few things in early childhood development are about earning them anymore. Truly earning them. You get them for showing up. You get them for finishing. But in many cases, very few things, you actually have to do something to truly earn it. And we want to create that moment. So if you want a life-changing experience that when you're done with it, just 1 year, when you get to the end, you will be better for it, regardless of what happens. I promise you that rugby will take you places. I promise that you belong to a bigger brotherhood. You can go anywhere in the world and play rugby, and you will eventually find 1,000 brothers and sisters who play. All you do is bring your boots with you, and they will put you on the team. You'll find a brotherhood that's not this little group and that little group and this little group and that little group, but a brotherhood of rugby players that you will always be part of. And no other program does that. None. You remember what it was like walking around Hingham High as a Hingham rugby player, and it was different. It was different because the experience is different. It's because the way it's built is different, because the game is different. It requires more of the individual to commit their heart and head than just, I was born good at this, or I've been to all these camps. No, it requires a little bit more. So to a new player, or rather to a new student who's like, why would I join the rugby team? Join the rugby team because you deserve an experience that will change your life. Not because it's just something you'll do for the next 4 years at Hingham High. That when you're done with it, you'll be able to look back and say, I am better for having experienced it and survived it. I'm better for having done it. I'm a better person. I can endure defeat and be lifted up by my brothers and sisters. I can watch people get defeated and pull them up. I have in me the ability that when I feel like I'm going to stay down, I'm going to get back up again. That's a life skill. That's a life skill that sport is supposed to teach. I can't speak for the sports, but I do know that it is literally the bedrock of what we do for rugby. So you want to do something, you have to be in high school, you have to be in the Army for the next 4 years. Why not be airborne? Why not wear those beautiful wings for 3 years and be something different and have earned it and earn the respect of everybody? I mean, if you got to do it, you might as well do it all out. And in the end, the applications of rugby players coming out of high school is this thick. The application of hockey players, lacrosse players, football players, blah, blah, blah. Something special. And the minute you get to that school, you find another rugby player, you have an instant brother and an instant connection with that person. That to me is what it's supposed to be about. So I've never met a recruit I haven't been able to get stick.
Hopefully that's 100% exactly
accurate. 100% accurate when it comes to me talking to people.
On a final note, is there anything else you'd like to tell people about rugby or about Hingham High's program?
So Hingham High's program is on its fifth year. We've been there 5 years. Congratulations to Hingham High. And, you know, I hope, you know, the years to come, more players. I think rugby's going to take some time to grow here in the United States. Try it. Watch it. Learn about it. Don't turn your nose up at it. You know, we've got the Free Jacks here in Quincy. That's our professional league rugby. That's on the Patriots level. Go watch games, talk to players, find the local youth clubs for your sons and daughters to get involved. My son plays for South Shore Sharks over in Marshfield. And there's South Shore Anchors has a youth program. I think Hingham is part of the new era of sports being recalibrated to be about betterment of the individual within the community, as opposed to just all about individuals and seeing what we can send off. I don't mean to say that as discredit to any other sport, but I think that rugby is a unique thing. And I think rugby is something that can easily dovetail into a lot of life skills after high school, after college. It's something you will always play, always enjoy. And I hopefully always have good memories with, and always have a brotherhood and family that you can go to. So, and I appreciate alumni coming back and forcing me out of the depths of, oh no, season's over. No, and come back and talk about it. So, and I also want to say, I want to thank a couple people, please. I want to thank Jim Quattromoni for his support for the past 5 years, but I particularly want to give a major shout out to Coach Dennis Love, who has been my right hand and my left since we started this idea, and I couldn't do it without him. And anybody who's ever been coached by him, who's played with him, knows that he is the heart and soul of any club that he belongs to. South Shore Anchors is blessed to have him, and we at Hingham High Rugby are absolutely blessed to have him as well. So I salute my best XO, my best second in command, actually 1B, Dennis Love. So thank you very much. And my assistant coaches, Michael Ciceroni and Jordan Thompson, who have been there for the past couple of years helping us with the forwards as well. And absolutely crackerjack forwards coaches as well. And Mike Pace. So all of them. I appreciate them. I'm really touched to have such a good staff. I think we're doing something really special over at Hingham, and I hope more kids will join up and take the chance and earn those wings.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time today to talk to me. Really appreciate having you on, and it was great to hear some of your stories from the past about rugby, and it was great to give you the opportunity to share with the community some of the things you have to say about something that's really just getting started here in Hingham and in the South Shore and the country as a whole. So thank you very much,
Coach Condrey. Opportunity, and I do appreciate that. And of course, very special Kurahi to you for doing all that you do and taking the experiences with you and showing that what we did those few years that we got to play together and I got to coach you, you're making something of it. You're standing alone together with the rest of us. We're proud of you. We're very proud of you. So thank you very much for all that you do and all that the station does. Thank you very much for that too.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Sports Pass here at Harbor Media. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next time.